Thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. On today's show, I'll be joined by music journalist Jason Buford, who obviously is a writer and a big Yankees fan. We'll be discussing some things Marcus Stroman said today about the Yankees. We'll discuss 2021's disappointing end and all the free agents that are available, because there are a lot of them.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Yankee fans. It's, Tuesday, November 16th, and I am joined by Jason Buford, and I'm very excited. This was a last-minute thing because, as I said in the cold open, Marcus Stroman opened his mouth about the Yankees, and we need to discuss this, and Jason stepped up and said, oh, yes, I'd like to. So before we get into this.
So for the listeners out there, he has me blocked on Twitter.
Oh.
Yeah, and so that's another reason why I specifically wanted to talk about this man, because he has me blocked on Twitter. For no apparent reason, like, I didn't tweet at him. He, like, searches his name. And so that's why we're going to get into it. Yeah, we're really going to get into it.
Okay, because he doesn't even have me blocked on Twitter. Although I don't think I've said anything really about him, and I don't think I've really interacted with him. So, yeah, because I checked, and yeah, I can see his tweets, and he hasn't done that to me yet. But first, before we get into everything, you can listen to us in Apple, Google, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you can find podcasts. You can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. And if you're looking at my face, obviously you can subscribe to us on YouTube. So do that. Actually, I just passed 500 subscribers. So thank you for that, everyone. I appreciate it because that's a nice round number. So let's get into this Stroman thing, because I didn't even know anything was happening. I was Pelotoning and not paying attention. And then I just happened to see someone had quote tweeted one of the replies that he said. So what happened was about 2 hours ago, if you don't have Twitter, because I know not everyone who listens to me lives on Twitter like I do, someone tweeted photos, photoshopping him in Yankee uniform. And there's one picture of him stepping off the mound. There's another where he's throwing a pitch and there's a big Yankee emblem behind him. And he replied with the 50 Cent gif of 50 Cent pulling away and smiling, like, get out of here kind of thing. And so this guy replied, you don't like us, man. What's the reason? Doesn't matter. You never pitched an important game in your life. Hold it. Which I'm like, ooh. And then Stroman said, you mad because that crazy payroll continues to let you down year after year? Get off my page and go communicate with the front office. Bitter boy. LMAO with a clown emoji and a laughing face.
Points were made.
And then someone said that the Mets had the third most and didn't make the playoffs. The Yankees had second and did. And then Stroman, I mean, he knows his stuff. He's not exactly lying. The Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009. They routinely spend more than any other team and acquire the biggest names at every trade deadline. That sounds more like the Dodgers. The way they spend and players they get should result in much more success than they've had. Don't you agree?
The playoffs are a crapshoot, right? Like,
they really are.
Yeah, it really is. You know what I mean? Like, it's simple mathematics almost. It's like, you know, like, eventually the Yankees will push through if they spend enough money. And the reason why you should spend as much money as possible is because you want to give yourself the best amount of odds in a crapshoot, right? Like, if you were to spend money, that's giving you the best amount of odds in a crapshoot. So he is not wrong about that. Right. It's just like, man, this is like the fifth time he has said something this offseason about the Yankees. I swear. It's just like, bro, you need to get over it. Get over yourself, man. Like, a few years ago, you want to talk about where this stemmed from?
Yes. Okay.
So a few years ago, I think it might have been like 2017, he was on the market when he was on the Blue Jays. He was on like the trade market. And someone had asked Brian Cashman, what about Stroman? And Cashman had said kind of, and this is like per usual for Cashman, who's like a really like honest human being. He's within his evaluations, he said like he doesn't think Stroman's that much of a difference maker. Right or wrong, he's probably wrong about that, honestly. Like, Stroman's a pretty good pitcher. But like, mm-hmm. whatever, he said it, and like ever since then, Strowman's had like this big axe to grind.
Mm-hmm.
He blocked me when like I tweeted like he was pitching against the Yankees one day when he was on the Blue Jays, and I tweeted something like, "Oh, Strowman's pitching, like we usually do well against him. Yeah, great." And then suddenly I saw that I was blocked. I was like, "What?
Oh no!
What's wrong with you, bro?" Like, and I think that's like that stems from like the idea that like athletes have to be like psychos in order to be successful. It's like that type of Michael Jordan, like Baker Mayfield mentality. But it's like, or you can just be talented. It's like you know what I mean. It's not an either or thing. Yeah, and he has like real psycho tendencies. Like there was another thing last week where he said he's not gonna break down like other pitchers do because he works harder than everyone. It's like. You sure about that, buddy? Like, it's like, I don't know. That's what happens when you're 5'7", though. You know what I mean? You know. you think about the past a lot because you can't see the future because you're too small to see the future. So, you know what I mean? When you're 5'7", that's you. Yeah, that's what happens.
You know, speaking of, I mean, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here that's not even baseball related, but I'm about 5'9 on a good day. Sometimes I wish I was 6'3", but I don't mind being 5'9", because 5'9 is good, because if I wear heels, you know, I could be like 6'1", and I'm looking over everyone, you know? I'm so surprised to find out how many famous actors are 5'7", 5'8", you know, barely 5'9". Like, James McAvoy is only 5'7"?
Tom Cruise is about 5'7". Yeah, Tom Cruise is a very short man. That's another short man.
Yeah, I knew about him being short. I knew about...
Also has psycho tendencies. There you go.
Well, that's a whole other podcast we could do about Scientology. Woo! But yeah, like, you know, like you said, it's just funny that he keeps mentioning the Yankees so much this offseason, and the offseason isn't even that old. It's only for him, the offseason's been longer. But the official offseason's only been about a couple of weeks. But it's amusing to me when he gets like that, because he's just acting like a brat. It's like, I know he's pissed that Cashman said that. I mean, I totally get it. I had someone tell me.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I did the exact opposite. Someone told me my writing was horrible and I stopped writing 3 years ago.
I want you to know that I was always a fan of your writing and I wish you would write more. I've told you this before, but I was always a fan of your writing. So
thank you. Yeah. It's a whole, you know, cause you're a writer. It's a whole writer's not block. It's just, I'll write maybe 200 words and then it just be like, this is crap and delete it and not want to do it. But, you know, it's weird. It's funny how people will take bad comments and either have the reaction that they want to prove someone wrong, or in my case, and I've always been like this, someone would call me an idiot and I'd be like, oh yeah? And then I'd fail 3 classes in high school. Like, you're right. I am an idiot, you know? And why? Where I don't have that.
But that's your own version of protest though. It's right. like jokes on you. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, ha ha. I showed you. And I'm not even joking. There was one quarter in high school. I'll never forget this. I had 3 B's and 3 F's. And my mom's like, how? She's like, either get all B's or get all F's. How did you do half and half? Like, what is the matter with you?
Mommy Gots has to focus on the positive, though. 3 B's.
Right. Like, 3 B's. I mean, that's pretty good for me. It's not C's, it's B's. Oh, that's so funny. But I don't know. He needs to calm down. I mean, it's only November 16th. We have a whole lot of off-season possible lockout. There's going to be a lot of people just yapping these next few months. And Marcus Stroman needs to calm down.
He also said something where he was like, yeah, you know, I have tattoos. I have braids that I have a durag. So, like, the Yankees don't want me. And it's like, a lot of Yankee players have tattoos. Like, this is not really, you know what I mean? It's not exactly true.
Glaber has them. And, yeah.
The beard thing is terrible, and we need to like get rid of that. But like at the same time, it's just like, bro, what are you saying? Like, that's not why the Yankees don't want you. The Yankees don't want you because you keep talking about us. It's like,
yeah, I agree with you on the beard thing. I think that they should allow beards as long as they're not crazy beards, because I feel like there's a point where it looks like people can live in someone's beard, and that's a little too much. Like, you know, the guys with the beards that are hanging down here.
Justin Turner's the biggest epitome of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Every time, you know, my mom will watch playoffs with me and just be like, why do their wives allow them to look like this? I'm like, well, it's probably like a superstition thing and they don't want to shave, so they just let it grow. And she's like, ugh, I wouldn't even let them near me. So yeah, it's... yeah, it's funny. Now, before we get into segment two, which we're going to be talking about the disappointment of 2021, because it was a disappointment. What a freaking, oh, what an up and down year. Before we do that, let's talk about Bet Online, because Bet Online is back and better than ever with a new web interface for the start of basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports. Bet Online, where the game starts. I'm getting so much better at live reads. So
basketball, I was at the Knick game last night.
Nice. And they won. That's always a good thing. Yeah. You know, it's not the same as it was years ago when they played. They played Indiana, right?
Yeah.
Is that who they played? Yeah. I mean, those games in the 90s with Reggie Miller are just insane.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I couldn't stand him. Oh. I mean, could any Knick fan? No. Yeah, we didn't like any of those guys. You know, Jordan, you know, all those. Oh, no. You know, nightmares. I have nightmares of the 90s Knicks because it just felt like they were going to do it. And then, yes. Yeah. Like, I remember the Charles Smith. Oh my God, in 93.
Oh yeah, yeah, with the pump faking. Yeah, that was, yeah.
My brother talks in his sleep. He's going to kill me for saying this, but he talks in his sleep. And I woke up in the middle of the night listening to him screaming after that game, dunk the ball. What are you doing? Dunk the ball. So yeah, it's, yeah. My dad, you know, raised us to be Knicks, Rangers, Giants, Yankees fans. That's our allegiance. Yeah, yeah, and he was a very big Knicks fan, and I always felt bad that the last full season that my poor father saw before he passed away was 2013-2014. Oh. Yeah. Just really bad.
That's a tough one, because the year before they won like 54 games. Yeah, right.
I always felt bad about that. I was like, oh, poor Gus. And you know, the Yankees weren't great in 2014 either, and it was just like, oh man, you know. Well, at least the Rangers made the Stanley Cup finals. Not that they did well, but at least they kind of
Did that was funny. 2014 Yankees. That's Jeter's funeral season.
Pretty much, yeah. Even though, man, 2013 was not good either. You know, people always talk about, like, you know, we can even, put this in with 2021, because when the Yankees were going through their low points in 2021, you know, you had people out there, John Turturro, saying, this is the worst team I've seen in 50 years. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's frustrating to watch a team that's projected to be as good as they were projected to be not do what they're supposed to do. But worst Yankee team in 50 years? No. Stop with the hyperbole.
Yeah. The issue on the team was depth. It wasn't really necessarily like lack of talent. It's like 2013, like those teams had like no talent. Yeah.
Those Sporkle games for 2013 and 2014, thinking about all the different guys that they had, and you name certain people and you think, oh,
remember Jason Nix?
Yes. You know, like you had like Lyle Overbay and
Brennan Wells. Like, no, it was.
Yeah. And like Brennan Bosch and Brian Roberts played. I was like, what? Like
Brian Roberts. They started Brian Roberts at second base. Can you believe that? Yeah.
Kevin Youkilis. Like, oh, what?
No. Yeah. Yeah. That. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny. So no, 2021 was definitely not. And you know, 2013 and 2014 weren't the worst teams in the last 50 years. I was around for the early 90s. I sat through games in 1990 when they finished, what were they, like 72 and 90, whatever the hell they were. And you know, Andy Hawkins throws a no-hitter but loses 4-0 because his defense can't play behind him.
You're going to hate me for saying this, but I'm 25, so...
Oh yeah, you don't remember any of that.
I wasn't even born. Like,
you're lucky.
I immediately remember my first Yankee consciousness is like immediately like 2001 to like, yeah, like 2001 is like one of the first Yankee years I remember.
Oh, and that was a rough ending.
That was rough ending.
Yeah,
but like that was like one of the first, and I was like, "Is this what this shit is like?"
Yeah. Well, for me, because I'm, you know, old, I was 22 when they won in 96. And because of my age, I was around for 77 and 78. Don't remember much. my first real Yankee memory was 81 when they lost to the Dodgers. And I've said this before on the show, so if you've heard this, I'm sorry. But I had a Sony Dream Machine in my room, a 1979 model. Google it and you'll see how big it was. It looked like it was a really big alarm clock. And I snuck it in my room because I was 7. I shouldn't have been up listening to the Yankees losing to the Dodgers in the World Series. And yet I did. And I knew it was a bad thing. And I cried myself to sleep when they lost.
Yeah.
And it was just so upsetting. But I didn't go to my first game till 1983. Two games. They swept the Blue Jays in a doubleheader. Ron Guidry threw a complete game in one of the games. The Yankees hit like 4 home runs in the second game. Don Mattingly was playing in right field for some reason for like an, it was a really strange experience, but I was like, yes, I want to come here all the time because they won both games. And I thought, okay, I'm here now. They're going to start winning. And I had a 10 game winning streak. The first 10 games that I went to, the Yankees won. And it was a game against the Red Sox, September of 1984. The Yankees were winning. I started to feel like I was getting a fever.
Yeah.
And like, you know, when you get a fever and within like 10 minutes, you know, you're really, really sick. And my dad looked at me and he's like, okay, we're taking you home. I said, no, I can't leave. The Red Sox took the lead when I was in the car and I blamed myself because I thought because I left the game early, the Yankees lost the game.
It was, that's why they lost.
And from the time I was a kid, I would never leave a game early after that. I would never allow my dad to do it. Be like, no, we have to stay. Nope, nope. Even if they were losing like 13, nope, we have to stay. We can't. There's a chance they might come back.
Yeah. I rarely if ever leave games early unless it's like really cold.
Yeah.
No.
There's nothing worse than sitting through a cold one.
I'm also, you stay until even if you're losing. I'm also like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So 2021 was a disappointment. I mean, there were some good moments, obviously. I mean, the 13 game winning streak was good. Cole's complete game was good. Kluber's no hitter was who the hell expected that to happen?
Yeah.
You know, Stanton and Judge playing in as many games as they did and not being hurt for, you know, a long period of time. I mean, Judge really was, aside from the COVID, he was pretty durable. You know, that was a shocking thing. I joked on my show before the season that my bold prediction was that Stanton and Judge would play in at least 40 games together. And it turned out they both played over 140. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, if we're lucky with that level of durability next season, it's going to pay off more.
Yeah.
The problem with this, going back to Judge a little bit, quite frankly, and I love Aaron Judge, that COVID thing kind of might have cost him like a playoff spot, because if he plays in like maybe half of those, if you get vaccinated, you get played in like you play in those half of those games where you were out of COVID. And so they probably would have won like maybe like 95 games, 96 games instead of only winning 92.
Right.
And so like they would probably have had home field in the wild card and like little stuff like that makes a huge difference. If we have home field in wild card, we win that game.
Yeah. Well, and also if Gerrit Cole's hamstring was healthy,
pop, and yeah. There's a bunch of stuff that happens. But honestly, the two balls that Stanton hit are some of the hardest hit balls I've ever seen. They hit the Green Monster. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just like it wasn't our night that night.
It really wasn't. No. And when he got thrown out the plate, I was like, yeah, no, this isn't their night. It's not happening.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Yeah.
And like, I think the highlight for me of the season was the weekend in Boston in September when they swept them. Cause I actually was just like, oh my God, we're getting hot at the right time. Like I was like, you know what I mean? But that was fool's gold. I remember being at a bar on Saturday with a friend of mine and, it's Red Sox Yankees, and so it was a Saturday game, so it's like 1-1. They're knocking on the door the whole game, and then Stanton hits the grand slam, or what was it, 3-run home run or something like that. And I went crazy at this bar, like, you know what I mean. And that's like probably the highlight of that weekend. And then he hit the one on Sunday Night Baseball the next night, and so the highlight of the season rather. And so I think there were some good moments. When you're a Yankee fan, they're always going to be competitive and they're always going to be good. And so like, there's a level of like spoiledness that we definitely do have, but at the same time, from our standards, that was not a fun season. It was not a good season. It wasn't.
Oh no, no, it was too up and.
Yeah, it was too up and down. They always.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go. Sorry.
It was too up and down. Too many guys were cold at the same time. Like the best part of the season, really. I mean, there were other moments that weren't contained in that 13 game winning streak, but I felt like, aside from firing on all cylinders, they were playing the kind of games that you want them to play. Like they were doing more things and not relying on the home run so much and looking better in the field. And then the switch flipped again and they went back to the way they looked before. And it was like, what happened? Like, why are you not playing the same way you played in those 13 games? They were so hot and cold. And they were like that in 2020, which is why they only finished, 33-27. It was the same thing.
Like, and it's just the same thing. Yeah.
So strange. You know, too many guys were not hitting the way they were supposed to. They waited till mid-September to figure out that Glaber shouldn't be playing short and should probably be at second most of the time. It's like, wow, how could you wait that long to figure this out? We all figured this out.
You don't have any depth. And so what it was like, let's figure out if it's just like, let's wait for Glaber to magically become better at this position that he's not good at, because they have no depth. They can't put anybody at the position. You know what I mean? And so there's, and what I'm also realizing is I still really, there's a backlash to LeMahieu that's happening from Yankee fans online. It's not completely fair. He's still a really good baseball player.
Of course.
But he probably should, he definitely should be our fourth infielder, quite frankly.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He should be utility infielder, right? Like, he shouldn't be starting at second base 162 games.
Well, that's what he was signed for. But then he had those crazy 2019 and 2020 seasons. And it was like, where the hell did this DJ LeMahieu come from? And through no fault of his own. And then he got that contract, which isn't astronomical, but DJ LeMahieu wasn't going to get that kind of a contract if he played like DJ LeMahieu in 2019 and 2020. Instead, he was playing like a friggin', like when he did resign, did you see CeCe's Instagram post? He put like a batting machine, jokingly saying DJ resigned, and because he was basically like a machine for those two seasons, totally not playing the way he was supposed to. And he basically is like a fourth outfielder. He didn't even start opening day 2019. Troy Tulowitzki started.
Tulowitzki started, right, exactly. And it's like, that was like one of the things was, and then they played him at first a bunch, and it's like, you know, he probably should be a utility man. So hopefully they start with some depth this offseason. The rest needs more, the outfield too. The outfield needs more depth. And, you know, Frazier got hurt and is still probably hurt. A few other people got hurt too. But Hicks going down in the past 2 years actually really, really hurt the team.
Oh, yeah. Because
they re-signed Hicks as if he was going to be ours. From 2017 to 2018, Hicks was a really good center fielder, like one of the best in the league, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's been – Hicks being out the past 2 years has really hurt the team, because they expected Hicks to be, like, a steady guy in center field and Gardner be, like, a utility outfielder in that type of way. And now they have to play Gardner more than they want to. It's been difficult. That's one of the things that's kind of been a little bit difficult. If Hicks can come back healthy, hopefully, you know, Allah willing,
if you're not watching on YouTube, I just cross my fingers.
You have Gallo at left. You got Hicks at center. You have Judge at right. You have Stanton DHing. You have Gardner presumably back on a 1 year contract. Fourth outfielder. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Well, I would be okay with that. Yes. Yeah, if he's going to be the fourth outfielder and not playing 120 something games a year starting, then yes.
And we'll get to what we need later. Ideally, I want to trade for a center fielder. We'll get to that more later. Like, I'm into Buxton. Is he a free agent?
They were talking about him earlier on Twitter.
I don't know if he's a free agent or if the Twins are going to trade him, but I was
I think it might be a trade thing, because I was talking about this with someone and I can't remember who it was on a different podcast. I think it might be a trade situation, but I have to double check on that.
I just saw the Athletics said Twins gauging interest. Yeah, I mean, I would love a center fielder who can go out and get it, has a little pop to his bat. Kind of like what Hicks was, but honestly, right now you can't really trust Hicks to be healthy. So yeah, I think we need to go out and get a center fielder. And yeah, we'll see what happens.
So before we get into that, I'm going to ask you, did you see a bad game in person? Because I did.
Yes, I did. I saw several, but I know the one that was like, it's actually burned in my head. And
which one?
So my friend and his whole family brought me. I'm blessed to have a very close friend who's basically just family to me. Basically just like my brother. His wife, his kids, and his parents, we all went to the game, and me, it's like, you know, and I'm close. His kids love me. I love his kids. Like, you know, it's a family thing. And so I'm meeting like his parents for the first time. Fun day, great. We drove up. We're listening to like Terror Squad in the car on the car ride. We're listening to like Big Fun and shit. We're having a good time. We're drinking or whatever. He took me to this spot that I really really like. Actually, it's like it's a bodega bar. Basically, it's like it's near the concourse. Like right where the stadium is at, right where the Four Train's at, but near the concourse. And it's like, it's a bodega, but in the back room, there's like a backyard kind of, quote unquote. And like, it only can fit like at least 15 people to 20 people, but it's still like chill, you know, knock a few back, a little older crowd, but fun. Mm-hmm. I know why he likes it. Anyway, we were playing the Cleveland team and we just get trounced like 13-0. Like it was the one where Sanchez dropped the pop up.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Sanchez dropped the pop up and like the whole stadium is just like boo. Oh my god. It was like one of the worst days of my Yankee life. Also, like a racist incident happened to me too, and I was like, shit. I was like, the hits just keep on coming.
Oh no.
I wasn't around, but apparently someone white, obviously, like a Nazi looking guy, like pulled up on my friend and was like, So you like black guys? And my friend was like, what the fuck? So terrible, terrible day in Yankees Lab that day.
Oh boy. Yeah, I was at the game.
I'm a dark humorous type of guy, as you know. So
I was at the game against the Angels with like three rain delays, and you know they knock Shohei Ohtani out in the first inning and go up 7-2, and then Aroldis Chapman comes in, gives up a game tying grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. My first game back at Yankee Stadium in nearly 2 years. Yeah, it's 93 degrees at the start of the game. I'm sweating my ass off and I'm already miserable. And then three rain delays and that happens. And I'm just sitting there going, is what? Well, first of all, I said to my brother, he's given up a grand slam. My brother's like, no, he's not. Literally the next pitch. And I'm like watching the ball because we were sitting in the 200 section near the foul pole, but facing out toward the field, you know? So I could see the trajectory of the ball. And I was just like, I mean, the whole stadium just groaned. We were like, are you kidding? It was like the longest night of my life. We didn't get home till like 2:15. It was miserable.
That's terrible.
Absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're going to pause for a second. We'll be back with segment three. Okay, segment three. It's free agent season, and with the looming lockout, things are happening this week. Noah Syndergaard went to the Angels. Eduardo Rodriguez went to the Tigers. That's a good move for the Tigers. Andrew Heaney gets signed by the Dodgers for $8.5 million. It's a strange market, if that's happening.
Heaney might be the worst pitcher I've ever seen in the Yankee uniform. He was well, actually, no, not true.
Yeah, no.
No, not true. Vado Nuno was pretty bad too. There was a few guys that were, but Heaney at least can strike people out, but like when it comes to like giving up home runs, like he gives up like five runs a game.
Well, he's the type of pitcher that when he'll look really good and he'll strike someone out, but his mistakes get crushed. Like some guys can get away with a mistake pitch.
Yeah.
He can't. Like you'll see a guy throw a pitch that a guy will just foul off, and you know that pitcher did not want that ball there. And it feels like every time Heaney threw that kind of a pitch, it would be hit 400 feet.
We'd just get crushed.
I mean, the Field of Dreams game was ridiculous.
Oh, well, that was a great game. Yeah. I mean, it was a tough loss at the end, but that was a great game.
I mean, you know,
I was at an Astoria bar watching that game, like just going ham in the ninth inning. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, MLB must have been so excited, though, with the way that game, you know, I mean, a lot of people love when the Yankees lose, but even just the ninth inning by itself could have just been like a movie by itself because it was just so dramatic. But there are a lot of guys out there. Yankees have needs. We were just talking about that. But what do you think their biggest need is and who would you want to fill that need?
So the biggest need is a shortstop position. Biggest need. Mm-hmm. It's been a need, quite frankly, since they got rid of Didi, didn't bring Didi back, which So Didi has not really been good for the Phillies. So you can't really say like, oh, we miss him, because like it's not like his output at the other place has been good. But we do miss his defense. His defense is really steady, and we do miss that. Yeah. So it's been a need ever since Didi was not brought back. That's the number one need this offseason. It needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Like no matter what. It doesn't even – like they need to go far and beyond for a shortstop. I don't care if they're – quote unquote, there's no such thing as overpaying when you're a billionaire, but like it doesn't even matter how much money they give whichever shortstop. They need to really give money to a shortstop. I personally would want Correa. I don't care about the cheating. I can't express this enough to any listener or anyone on Twitter or anyone. I don't give a fuck about the cheating. I don't anymore. I mean, like, I hate the Astros, clearly, but like they're players. Like, they're, you know what I mean? Like, it's, first of all, cheating in baseball is like, that is the idea of the whole game. That's right. Why it's America's national pastime, right? This is a cheating ass country. It's a cheating ass game. Right. You know what I mean? So that's the first thing. Two, like, Correa is, I kid you not, one of the best players in the league, and is just entering his prime at age.
And he would be such a great Yankee. He really would.
So good. He loves so the good. Crowd. He loves attention. Yeah. He loves like the big moments. I mean, he would.
Oh, and the media would love him because he'll speak his mind. He won't hold back.
Correa would be awesome. Correa would be an awesome Yankee. So I want Carlos Correa. I don't know if they're going to do it, but I've been bullish on a lot of statements that I've heard Cashman make.
Right.
Cashman, like me, has said that he said, quote unquote, the cheating will not factor in any decision that he makes this season. Right. And I was like, I love to hear that. And Boone this today said, they asked him, you know, about Correa's past, you know, cheating, indiscretions, and he said, no, it doesn't really matter to us. He's become a really big leader in that clubhouse. Right. So, you know, it doesn't really matter to us. So that's what I want to hear. That's good. I'm hoping like maybe Cole can like give them like a really good recommendation too. So they, you know, they seem to listen to Cole a lot, maybe a little bit too much. I would, yeah. I mean, well, yeah, I would, so I would love, Carlos Correa. Seager is a good player. I don't think he's a great player. Also struggles fielding. Seager's a really, I don't know if Yankee fans have stayed up to watch the Dodgers. I've had a few times. He cannot field.
Yeah, no, and you know, I nearly got into an argument with someone on Reddit, which I know I'm on Reddit, but, I said that was
the first problem, Stace.
Hmm?
That was the first problem. You were on Reddit.
I know, but I said that the Yankees needed a shortstop. Like, they need to shore up their infield defense because it was just atrocious. And someone said, oh, well, so you don't think they need to help the offense? I'm like, you don't think Carlos Correa is going to help the offense? Yes, I know he doesn't bat from the side of the plate that you want him to, but who the hell cares? It's Carlos Correa. Like, of course you're going to want to get him. I know Seager.
Also, he has power to the right side, which is one of the best parts about him. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. It's not like he's a dead pull hitter.
Not at all.
Right. So I don't understand people's problem with that. And again, like you had said, the cheating thing at this point, who the hell cares? Everything's been done. And, you know,
Major League Baseball had a chance to make people care about that. They really did. And it's a black eye for the sport. Using like technology is really what the problem is. Like, you can do certain things and be like, yeah, what the hell? But you can't really like, you shouldn't really be able to like do camera work and smash trash cans. That's like really fucked up shit.
The whole trash can thing just the fact that was their system cracks me up to this day. Really, and funny, I feel like
it's like one of the lamest things ever. It's like, what are y'all doing?
And I don't know. I feel like
it's like nerdy high school mentality shit. Yeah. It's just
when I heard that, I thought, really?
It's odd.
Like,
yeah. It's
that's really what they were doing? Like, they weren't even, oh God. And I, you know,
It's also, people don't talk about that scandal in the right lens. What they should be talking about is that they were using the trash cans against pitchers that either were in the minor league system or were set to have a contract the next season. A lot of pitchers lost money because the Astros were cheating, right? A lot of pitchers were sent down. One pitcher actually retired, I believe.
Yeah.
And so talked about in the right lens, you know what I mean? Not to go on a tangent, but, Seager's a good player. He's a left-handed bat. So I get it, but I would prefer Correa. If they get Seager, fine. Like, he's a good player, so fine. I personally, a list for me would be Correa, Simeon from the Blue Jays, Seager, Trevor Story.
Right. Yes, that would be the exact order that I would do it into.
That's probably the four. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. What about first base for you?
First base is definitely a need. It's quite frankly a need because Voit's not healthy.
Right.
I think Voit's one of the best hitters in the league, honestly. The problem is they don't like his fielding, which, like, first base, you can't – if you're not a good fielder at first base, whatever.
You can kind of get away with it as long as you can scoop balls.
Like Giambi could scoop balls. He just couldn't throw.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to bring up.
Giambi was good at scooping balls. He just couldn't throw at all.
Although I did in person see him pull off a 363 double play.
Did you really? Giambi?
Yes. And I nearly fainted. Yes, he did. And he also accidentally bunted for a double because the shift was on, and he kind of like poked, and it was like, and he didn't even realize, like, oh my god, and he ran to second, and everyone was like, I'm trying to remember if that happened in the same game. I have to look that up, but it was, I believe it was 05 when that happened, but
Giambi was funny.
Voit and Giambi remind me of, you know, like, Voit is basically Giambi from the other side, like body wise and everything. It's kind of creepy sometimes when you see him, his stance,
like the beer drinkings, the Stone Cold Steve Austin stuff.
It's very similar
energies. I think Voit's a really great hitter. I don't think he's healthy, and maybe probably won't really ever be healthy, unfortunately. Sometimes guys don't have the durability gene. And so you probably need a first baseman. Rizzo's a good player. I don't think he's as good as he was a few years ago. Apparently he had a little bit of an injury that on the Cubs last year that carried on into the when he was with us, so he wasn't great with us, but he is a really good fielder. Like, the defense was automatically better once he was in there, like, automatically. So I would, Rizzo's fine. Olsen from the A's is who I would want. I would want to get Olsen from the A's in a trade. Olsen's a really good player. I would love that. That's probably where I'm going. And then we talked about center field a little bit. And then catcher is also, if they can do an upgrade there, great. If you're not, I'm fine with Sanchez, quite frankly. Like, I get it. I get he's been disappointing, but, like, I think you bet on the talent of Gary Sanchez. I really do.
Yeah.
You bet on the bat waking up once in a while.
It's basically that kind of a thing where you have a little bit of a streak and then he just falls apart again and strikes out on three pitches and you're just like, oh. But those flashes of brilliance where you're just like, oh my god. You know, there are, like, in 2016 when he first, like, really burst onto the scene, you were just like, oh my god, he's amazing. Like, wow.
It looked like he was just playing against a different competition. Like,
because, like, I'll tell you, my birthday that year, we were out at a bar, and anytime Gary Sanchez came up, and there was a game, they beat up on the Orioles. Like, it was like a 13-5 game. And he just, every time he came up, did he have two home runs and a double? It was something crazy like that. The entire bar shut up to watch him at the plate. And this was like a random August game against the Orioles. And, you know, the Yankees at that point weren't totally out of it, but they weren't really in it either. And it was just, it was amazing to me that these people were just like, with a rookie, like, they were just like, oh my god, like, look at him. Like, look at how great he is. And it just really seemed like, oh wow, the Yankees have this really great offensive catcher again. Like, it's going to be really fun to watch this guy develop and grow. And you've seen flashes of it, you know, against the Astros. He had that big hit in one of the middle games of the ALCS, the opposite field hit when they came back in that one inning. And God, but yeah, it's frustrating to watch him.
It's been frustrating to watch him in the postseason as well. It's been a tale of two, like, Gary Sanchez's in his tenure with the Yankees. I've questioned the way they've handled situations with him. I've questioned, like, you know, is he just broken? I think personally, like, he, in a wild card game, he needs to start. I don't care who Cole wants to pitch to, Sanchez needs to start. Like, he was an automatic out in that game. And so you just, like, you need a guy who has a threat of a home run. And so I'm fine with Sanchez returning, even though, like, I would like, but catchers, they're not, you know, catchers aren't available like center fielders or shortstops. They're just not. Right. You know what I mean? It's just, that's kind of the law of the land in baseball. You know what I mean? When you luck into a good catcher, like, you get really lucky. Like, you know how lucky we were? Posada wasn't perfect, but you know how lucky we were to have Posada all those years? Like, he was so good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, catchers are, like, hard. Like, so, you know, it's real difficult to get, like, a catcher that's, like, that good. That's, like, makes so much of a difference. So,
And that is also the other problem because, you know, the Yankees had these types of players 20, 25 years ago. And they compare everyone that comes up, even now, to them. Like, Aroldis Chapman had a crappy year. He started off where he was, like, otherworldly, and no one could do anything against him. And then he hit a wall. Yeah. And, you know, he finished okay, but he's not Mo Rivera. No one is Mo Rivera. And the Yankees fans can't expect any closer that we get to be anywhere near Mo Rivera, because it's not going to happen. He was, like, this once in a lifetime guy that just could throw one pitch and get people out.
I'll tell you, like, how good Mariano Rivera is. He legitimately has aligned himself with, like, the worst people on the planet, and no one really cares. That's how good Mariano Rivera
is. It's true. It's true. I mean, I'm disappointed.
Fascist, and he doesn't, no one cares.
I'm disappointed, but it's like, it's yeah, it's Mo.
Oh, I'm disappointed, but I want him as my closer again.
I mean, he probably could. He's, what is he? He's 52. He could probably still throw at least. How fast do you think he could still throw?
Oh, he could probably throw the cutter for like 88 miles per hour.
Still. Yeah, right? Like around 88, maybe even touching 90.
He would get people out still. Like, he may not be like as dominant, but he would get people out still. Absolutely.
So, hopefully. And I'm crossing my fingers again. We're both crossing our fingers if you're listening and not watching. The Yankees, you know, like, you were talking about Cashman and things that he says. And he said that he had permission to do what he needs to do this offseason. Yeah. And the last time he said that was before they signed Cole. Yeah. So something's going to happen.
Something's going to happen. He also said straight up, shortstop's a need. He also said that straight up.
Oh, right. The year of the shortstop. That's right.
He said shortstop's a need straight up. He said that. So we're getting a shortstop, whichever one it is will be like the question. Listen, if it's Correa, I think we're a media contender. I hope it's Correa. He's so good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I hope it's Correa. He's such a good player. And then, and then they need another pitcher as well. They need two more, ideally, but they definitely need another really, really good pitcher. I thought they missed Tanaka this year a little bit. Like, I don't know if they brought Tanaka back from Japan, but I thought they missed him a little bit this year.
Oh, they definitely did.
Yeah, they definitely did. Tanaka eats innings and never gets hurt. Like, they missed Tanaka.
And then I feel bad for Jordan Montgomery, because he had that stretch where they could not score for him, and he didn't win a decision for six starts, and he was pitching good, well. Yeah, and it was like, they just didn't want to score for him, and I felt so bad because I was, you know, coming back also from Tommy John.
That missed time because of COVID also.
Right. Yeah. So it, you know.
Yeah, we were also very unlucky last season. We really were. Really
It's kind of funny, though.
A deeper roster, so
like, you know, 2019, anytime someone went down, they'd either get someone would come up, and it was like, how did this team win 103 games with 31 guys on the IL? Like, how is this even
possible? Well, they had a pretty deep roster in 2019. Plus, I think the juice balls really helped them in 2019, quite frankly.
Sure.
They
helped DJ LeMahieu.
DJ LeMahieu. Also, like, I mean, guys like Mike Tauchman, you know what I mean? Like, it clearly helped a few guys that maybe weren't really that good.
Right.
But still, like, you get you need a deeper roster. So, like, things like injuries and that doesn't really kill you. You know what I mean? And so hopefully they round the roster's got to get better. They got to round the roster up. What do you think about Verlander, by the way?
I'm afraid of the whole, he's coming back from Tommy John. He's 38. He has a ton of innings on that arm. And I don't know. I feel like
I don't like him. Like,
their time to get him was 2017, and they muffed it.
And they muffed it. Yeah.
God, that's so annoying. when you think about how different 2017 could have been if they got Verlander at the August 31st.
Instead of the team that they were competing against the whole season,
too. Yeah. Yep.
It's like, instead of the Astros. Yeah.
I mean, would I mind it? No, because I think, you know, it's Justin Verlander, but it's the whole Yankees taking a chance on a guy who's coming back from not pitching. He hasn't pitched in a long time. And, you know, they tried that with other guys and it doesn't really work out most of the time. So I'm a little afraid that way.
Was good when he was healthy, but he wasn't healthy. You know what I mean? It just doesn't. The type of low risk, high reward deals, they don't really work out that as much as like that phrase suggests. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's low risk because it's a 1 year, $10 million thing, and the guy has been hurt and blah blah blah, and it's a high reward. But the reason why there's like a low risk, high reward thing, the reason why that it's like you're not giving him a long contract, is because he's been hurt in the past. It's like these things don't really work out in the way you always imagine. So you have to be prepared for like the worst kind of. And so I hope that they have some of it is also, I think, Devi Garcia hasn't really panned out in the minor leagues the way they wanted it to. So there's a few other stuff going on there, but they definitely need to shore up the rotation for certain. Like, the rotation has to be shored up for certain. And, yeah, and bullpen stuff, too. Bullpen, you can kind of, like – bullpen got a little bit unlucky as well last year, quite frankly. They have some arms, though, that, like, Chad Green's been, like – it's not Chad Green's fault that he struggled last year, quite frankly, because, you know, like, he's been, like, pitching innings and – after innings for like 5 years now, like his arm is jello. You know what I mean? Like, they had a few guys who like didn't pitch well. Yeah. But it's like, yo, their arms are like done. You know what I mean? So it was a weak roster last year and they really have a lot of holes that they need to shore up. So we'll see what happens.
Yep. I agree. So, thank you for joining me. I appreciate this because, I was sitting here thinking, oh my God, what am I going to talk about today? And then the Marcus Stroman stuff happened and I was like, oh, okay. He just gave me something to talk about. And then when you said, hey, I'd like to come on the show and talk about it. And I thought, oh, because we've been talking about doing this for a while and didn't happen.
We've been following each other for like a very long time too. I think maybe it's probably been like since 2016, 2015, something like that. And it's really cool because I've grown in that time. You know what I mean? Like, you found me since I was like a teenager, and now I'm like I got my whole career. You know, I write for Rolling Stone. Check out my work on the interweb, by the way, people. I write about music for Rolling Stone and stuff. So it's just like I've seen you start as a writer. Now you have the podcast on the lockdown, which I always love listening to. And so I really wanted to come on and salute you because you're one of my favorite people on the internet. So.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And we will do this again because, you know, when the lockout happens, it's going to be...
We didn't even talk about that. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Yeah, we will. I'll have you back on. We'll talk about it because it's definitely happening. So when it does...
Yeah, no. And I'm always into, like, labor conversations. Like, as a leftist, I'm always into those labor conversations. Like,
yeah. Oh, good. Because I mean, I know stuff, but I'm not...
Yeah.
There are some things I know about, but I don't feel comfortable talking about. So I will have you back on. So that is it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcast. You can watch and subscribe to us on YouTube. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. You can make your second listen of the day Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We'd really appreciate it. Enjoy your Tuesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.